the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I broke down yesterday, ran out to the dollar store and got me some new glasses for a dollar. That's a lie. I didn't actually get it at the dollar store. I got it at TC Market. My old ones, I don't know if you'd noticed it, I busted on the side. And I like, yeah, I wear these a lot. Come on in here. I wear these a lot, but I don't like that look. I'm a little too vain, so I like the ones that don't really have hardly any rims to it. You can't notice it. So I got these for a dollar store. We're going to have an unbelievable. We always have an unbelievable show. But I got Victor here. I'm trying to get Victor in here. I got a studio audience. I got Ray LeBlanc over here. Ray's going to have to lean in. Victor, you're going to have to lean in. Victor's all the way from, let me get this out of the way. You see what I'm doing all the time here. Victor, you getting a feel for this? Let me get this thing out. Get these people out of the way here. There's Victor. He's not as ugly as he looks. He's got on a good cross hat.
And then they have
the miners. Like, they rolled in about 2 o'clock last night. Ray's leaning in there. Victor's got a hat on. You know what I like most about this job? I was thinking about this here in a second. I'll give you a chance to get in there, Victor. Don't let you elbow your way in. I love the people I meet. I was discussing this a little bit with Michelle yesterday. By the way, guys, you ain't going to believe the property that Mike Blake has given us to spend this weekend. And you're not going to believe it. Those of you who are camping or roughing, I'm telling you, it's the most beautiful piece of property right on the lake. We're able to watch the sun go down. You can fish. God is so good. We went over there yesterday, Michelle and I did. When I left, I was just overwhelmed. I said, God is so good. I cannot believe that he provided this. I just can't even believe it. I can't believe it. And so the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in our way. And I was having a conversation with Michelle yesterday. I said, Bible says that you shall be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them, the Gentiles, and we should think not what we shall say, for it shall be given unto us that same hour, or what we shall say, for it's not us who speaks. Word actually says what we should speak. For it's not us that speaks, but our Father that speaks through us. You know that when you're doing the will and the work of the Lord, you're not alone. And that when you're doing the will and the work of the Lord, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He just doesn't order the steps. The provisions are along the way on the steps too. And if we could ever begin to understand that and get a grasp on that, that would really, really get us out of our comfort. Now, yes, Lord, here I am, send me, right? Here I am, send me. Yes, Lord. Okay, I heard that, Lord. How are you going to do it? I don't know, but I heard you and I'm going to go. And so a lot of times when we go to the streets or where I go someplace to speak or do something like that, my wife will say to me, hey, how did it go? And I say, hey, I went. I don't know. I went. It went good. I don't know why I went, but I did. I was obedient and I went. And I think about my life and everything that I've been through. And Victor, I'll let him come in here in a second. Victor's from El Paso. And I said, Victor listens to all of them. Hagman's and Quayle and Dave Hodges. He's on top of everything. And I'm thinking, how did I ever get in the name? How did my name ever get mentioned amongst those guys? How did that ever happen? The scripture says that you'll be brought before governors and kings. And you know what? I don't mind being brought before them, but I don't want to hang with them. Do you understand the difference in that? I love being brought before them. And what that means is that I'm going to go to the governors and the kings. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord, you are the man. That's what it means. You're going to be brought before God. Sometimes you're going to be forcibly brought. You're not going to be brought before governors and kings because you want to be there. You're going to be brought before governors and kings because you were sent there. When you get sent there, now you have the opportunity to speak the truth to power. And I think about my life. When Ray pulled in last night at late, 2:15 or whatever it was when he pulled in, I got to tell you this story. Victor, who I've never met, said, listen, I'm flying into Port Columbus. I'm going to get in at 12:20. And I'm thinking, 12:20, that's like at night, in the middle of the night, you're coming in. And he said, I'll sleep in the airport. And I said, no, I can't do it. So I got so many balls up in the air. I'm going to be the guy to go pick him up. I thought, well, who can I call to pick up Victor? Who can I inconvenience to pick up Victor at 12:20 in the morning? So who do I call? Ray LeBlanc. Now, Ray's only 10 hours away, right? Say, Hey, Ray, could you go by the airport and pick up Victor? He says, sure. He jumps his plane and says, I'm leaving now, coach. I'm not making this up. I'm leaving now. Where were you?
West Tennessee.
West Tennessee. To go pick up an airport guy 45 minutes from the airport from him. And so I'm thinking this whole thing out, you know. I'd much rather hang out with Ray LeBlanc than John Kerry. I'd much rather hang out with Victor than Hillary Clinton, John Kasich. See, I would much rather, Jared, here's a great demand on you. Pull up If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can pull that up for me real quick here. Now I'm going to bring Victor in. I'm going to bring Ray in here in a second. And I haven't really done a whole lot of show prep, although I got a lot of show prep in me. And I have to be careful today because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag in regards to our activities this weekend, because the enemy's watching very, very closely. And I know this because, let me say this in a nice way. I got a call from the authorities. We're going to be brought before governors and kings. I got a call from the authorities yesterday, just kind of curious what it is we're going to be doing in a nice way. And I said, why are you calling me about that? And he says, well, coach, he says, let's just put it this way. The other side knows you guys are coming. That's good, isn't it? Huh? It's good. The other side knows we're coming. Because what? The guys in the book of Acts, they caused no small stir, didn't they? They caused no small stir. So that encouraged me, but it also encouraged me to know that they're watching. They're watching the show right now, and they're trying to figure out our plans. And it's like a chess match, isn't it? It's like a ball game. They're making a play, and we're making a play. They're doing this, we're countering. They're doing this, we're countering. It's going to be a fabulous, fabulous weekend. I'll pull these guys in here in a minute if I can. But Jared's put this up there by Rudyard Kipling called If. I'd rather hang with you. All right? I'd rather hang with you than Urban Meyer. I just met him. I'd rather hang with Ray LeBlanc than John Kasich. You understand? Ray LeBlanc's got my back. I don't even know Victor, but Victor's got my back. Huh? He got my back. He says, if he can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, you can trust yourself when all men doubt you. But make allowance for their doubting, too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts at your aim. Boy, I could preach on every one of these lines. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools. Can anybody say amen on that?
Amen.
Can you say yes? Say amen on that? I live there, brother. That's where I live. That's where I live, right wing watch, right there, baby. Or watch the things that you gave your life to broke and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. My goodness. And if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginning and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after you're gone, are you leaving a legacy? Or is your life just about you? And so, hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on! If you can talk with crowds and keep your honesty, your virtue, or walk with kings and not lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you. If all men count with you, Ray, but none of them count too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute. Boy, is the minute unforgiving. Once spent, it's gone, baby. With 60 seconds worth of distance run, then yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Is that something? Rudyard Kipling. I don't know if he's a believer or not. I'm gonna do something right now. I'm gonna throw Victor. I'm gonna throw him in here real quickly because I said to Victor last night. Victor's come all the way from El Paso, Texas. Long way, man. Flew in an airplane. Tells me a story. I'd never met him until came rolling in last night. I'd spoken to him. He's been to Chad's house. This is one of the fish that Chad's reeled in. And I said, Victor, why the heck are you here? What brought you here, Victor? Victor, why the heck are you here? We can hear you, man. Let me get this over here. Go ahead, Victor.
Coach, when you said, what great thing are you going to do before you die? That was my exact comment. I heard of you over the last 5 years, but it's exactly when you laid out the gauntlet. What great thing are you going to do before you die? I want this to be one of them.
Mm.
I want to go participate in any way, shape, or form wherever we go. But the one thing that I will do, I will be watching. Nothing will come there because I know the Holy Spirit, my Lord, my Heavenly Father, if He's with us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
Who matters?
Well, like I said, Russ Dizdar told me. I said, Russ, don't you get scared? He says, sure, I get scared, Coach. But he says, I'm in the Lord's hands. And they can't touch me unless he lets them.
Amen.
That has to be our attitude, doesn't it? We love ourselves so stinking much, man. We love, you know, I go back to that, what Rudyard Kipling said. Yeah. Has there ever been, with the exception of Donald Trump, maybe, has there ever been a guy more misunderstood than me? Well, yes. I see it all the time because it's always happened to me. And you know what? I reached the point, Victor, Ray, I try not to defend. I defend myself on the show all the time. But I don't spend my time trying to defend myself.
When love sounds like hate.
Victor's got it all, man.
Brother, don't you worry.
So Victor's here with me. And Rob's flying in right now. He says Rob says all they can do is kill us. Isn't this fascinating what I get to do here every morning, right? This is so fascinating. I'm looking at the chat over here. Rob says all they can do is kill us. They ain't nothing in service to the king. That's what it's supposed to be, right?
Hey,
so
Coach,
we know that. Yeah.
This is Brother Jeff. I'm at the airport.
Hey, Jeff's Victor. At the airport. Coming in from Reno, Nevada. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's all I got to say. I talked to Victor on the phone earlier this week. He's on board.
Have you
My
ever met Victor?
On board.
Have you ever
I
met
talked
Victor?
To him on the phone.
No, have you ever met him?
Not personally. Not up front yet.
The Lord's going to make a Holy Spirit connection. See, if you guys can't see what's going on, I don't even know what to tell you. Victor's going to meet Roger Weaver this week. Where's Roger? A ugly mug. Where are you, Roger? There you are. You're gonna see that guy, right?
Roger, don't forget your sissy Bible, my friend. The top of the morning to you too.
Well, I mean, I
want to. Here's the thing, Roger. He already knows you. Victor already knows you, right? Hey, Dale. Victor already knows you.
Oh, God bless you, Dale.
Huh? He already knows you. Marty Kelly, I see Marty's in there. Marty, can't wait to see you. Dale says you can't kill someone who's already crucified in Christ. Hey, right? This is why I said yesterday. Why are some of you guys missing this opportunity to be here? Huh? Listen, Roger's going to buy you a meal.
No, I'm going to buy Roger a meal.
Roger's got the money to do it. He's going to buy you a meal. We're going to pin him down. We're going to make him do it. Serge is coming in. This guy here, you're going to look this guy right here. Oh, there. You're going to look him in the eye. He's a big old boy. You're going to meet him. Oh, right? You're going to see David Arthur. You're going to meet him.
Oh, right? Mr. Alphabet.
Huh? You're going to meet the Alphabet Man, right?
Top of the morning.
You're going to meet this guy right here, David. Dave, you're going to meet him. You're absolutely going to look him in the eye and say, I've known you. I've known you over that program. And today I get to say hi to you and I get to meet you. You're going to meet George Lewis. George, Your picture's not here. I'm trying to get you in here. And you're going to meet, there's George. You're going to meet George. You're going to look him in the eye.
George. I'm meeting you, ma'am.
Right. Hey, you're going to look him in the eye and you're going to shake his hand and you're going to realize that this just isn't some guy hanging out there. Hey, George, the enemy knows we're coming. They called the cops. They're worried that we're showing up. Isn't that something? Huh?
Amen.
You're going to meet this guy. You're going to meet Jeff Klein. Jeff, you're on the screen right now. You're going to meet this guy. You're going to shake his hand and say, how you doing? There he is. You're going to see him, right? Let me see who else we got down in here. This is so magical. So magical. You're going to meet Lowell. Your picture's not there, Lowell. You're going to meet Lowell. You're going to meet Marty. She's probably, her picture's probably not there. You're going to meet Rob Pugh. Is his picture there? No, he's just on the, he doesn't have a screen up there, too. This is going to be an unbelievable. I'm going to meet this guy, I think. The old Craig. Craig, we're going to meet you, Craig. There's no picture for you. Folks.
Where's Vince?
Vince is in Brooklyn or wherever he is. He flew down here. Hey, Vince, we don't get to see you. Turn your camera on so we can see your ugly mug.
Hold on. Of course I can.
Hey, Coach, Craig don't want to get on camera. He's sitting right over here.
What's that?
Hey, Vince. Craig don't want to get on the camera. He's sitting over here.
I'm sorry, this guy was speaking Mexican in my ear. I didn't hear what you said. Say it again, David.
Craig doesn't get on the camera. He's sitting over here. He's scared.
Come on, let me see you there.
Good morning, Craig.
Stick your face in here, Craig. Ray wants to see. Is that an ugly mug? Hey, Craig, you're going to look these guys in the eye later on. You guys understand the magnetism, the dynamism that's going on here. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man to get to be part of it. Go ahead and say something, Victor. I feel you.
This is the epicenter of the revival of the ages right here. The epicenter. It's going to shake them so they can't stand it no more, and then we're going to give them some more.
Amen.
No compromise here, my friend.
Amen. Because can I tell you why? Because what? Hey, let me get back here. I'm going to see me. I like to lean in sometimes, Victor. Hey, boys. The Lord's doing some sifting. The Lord's doing some sifting. This isn't for everybody. Some get in, don't stay a while. Some come in, move out. Pick up my phone, say, hey, Ray LeBlanc, do me a favor. I got a guy who's 40 minutes from me. Would you please drive 10 hours and go pick him up, bring him to my house? Boom. In his van, off he goes. Huh? Off he goes, right? Because the Bible says to commit to faithfulness. but faithful men. I'm sure of this. I'm sure this guy, slide in here a little bit, Ray. I'm sure, I've known Ray for a little over a year. I'm sure he's had it. I'm sure he's had a lot of reason to be mad at me. I'm sure he has. He's here. I'm sure Chad's had a lot of reason to be mad at me. I make people mad all the time, stuff I say. So here's what I want to know. If you're going to get mad when somebody says something to you, I don't want you in the foxhole with me.
Take a number.
Take a number. Huh? If you're that easily offended, we've done everything perfectly, but we're doing it for all we're worth. Somebody come in here, man. I'm going to turn to Jude. Turn to Jude. Ray, you didn't get to say much.
Hey, Coach.
Jump in.
All right. Let me just
say, Serge. Hang on,
just want to say a quick word about the last past year that I've had.
We got to do something about that habit. Look good. Right. There you go.
Last past year, I had opportunity to be with the coach. He's what I call a first stepper. He's the one that leads the way. And you see people when you come up against some kind of opposition, and everybody's afraid to take that step and stand up against it. But I've seen coaches will take that first step. And because he's taken that first step, somebody will take the second step.
Mm.
And after that second step is taken, then that third person back there says, well, there's two up there. I'm going to join it. Now we've got three.
Courage is contagious, brother.
See? So, and that's what I see happening here more and more is we see ourselves all gathering together this weekend where we're going to be in the 100, maybe. I'm not sure what the final numbers are, but
doesn't
the
matter.
Numbers are growing.
We'll fight with whatever we got, man. Yeah. It don't matter.
So that's where we're headed. God is building that remnant, and it took the courage of one man to step out there in faith, and the Lord is providing it. I'm just blessed to be part of it.
So know this: there's going to be a national gathering again next year, and there's no reason why you can't put it on your schedule and be here. Other than what was it? Everybody decides what they do and don't want to do. We make decisions all the time about what we want to do. I'm not trying to make you build it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Hey, listen, unfortunately, we cannot be there.
Is this Glenn? Okay, right. Glenn.
We cannot be there. But we're, you know, I want to encourage those that are not coming to be part of the Air Force this time. So we're going to bombard the group with prayer, okay, as intercessors. And support you financially, okay? That's what we can do. For those that cannot make it, I want to encourage you to take that position.
Hey, Glenn, I want to acknowledge, yesterday after the show, we had about $1,700 come in. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but it isn't. And I'd like to double that today. Some of you out there, come on. Come on, man. This guy, I'm guessing $400 to fly out here. He's here. He's made his investment in here. We went out yesterday, ordered food, we got signs coming in, we got all kinds of expenses, and I'm just trying to keep the storehouse filled, okay? That's all. I'm not trying to make money. I saw somebody the other day made a comment, says, how dare those guys try to profit off of the gospel? Profit off? Are you, I wanted to swear right there, Victor, but I didn't. Are you? Profit off of the gospel? What the?
I know.
Well, hey, listen, Coach, you're the infantry. You're the infantry
right.
This weekend. You're the boots
right.
on the ground, but the infantry needs to be supplied. So folks, send a donation. Oh.
Okay, I just got a note here. I'm sorry. I got to mute myself when others are speaking. Otherwise, there's feedback. I apologize for that, man. I asked before we went on the show whether that was going to be a problem. So I apologize. Apologize for that. I'll take care of that from here on. I'm reading something. Morning, Coach Gary and Deborah are here. We got in from Oregon. These people drove from Oregon. We got in, left from Oregon last night around 11. Long drive. Going to wash off a little road dust, get situated for the weekend. Anything we can do to help out today, let us know. So I'll text them and let them know. Man, oh, man. I'm blown away. Serge, you tried to get in here and somebody walked off. Hey, Glenn, thanks for those kind words. Serge, you tried to get in. Somebody walked all over you, man. Come on back in. Hang on. Hey, Serge, let me mute myself here a second.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks. I, If it wasn't for you, I would be still doing nothing. And by you encouraging me and by all these guys every morning, coming back every morning, it made me want to do something. And I just wanted to say thanks. Thanks to all of you.
Amen, Serge. Same story here. Same story here. And I'm going to go to my grave, hopefully a little farther down the road, knowing that there are men who are wasted their lives away looking for something great to do. Really.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, George. Let me mute a second. Just a second, George. Let me finish. Some have chased after money, fame, recognition, prestige. Almost cussed again. And at the end, vanity, vanity, Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Where is that? Maybe we ought to read that this morning. Vanity, it's Ecclesiastes, but I'm not sure where it is. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. I'm going to look for that, George, while you come in. Let me mute myself here, George.
Coach, hey, I just want to stop sitting here in my chair. And, man, I tell you, in the deepest part of my belly, I am so excited just what you've put together and to meet these guys and to fellowship. Man, I tell you, it's kind of emotional. It's going to be great. And, you know, I'm bringing one of my best brothers I've known for over 30 years, went to college together. I call him Pastor Paul Webb because he's now ordained minister. And he has gotten so bold, Coach. I mean, he's gone from, you know, kind of timid to extremely bold. And I've just seen what this does for people. And so, man, if there's anyone that is just on the fence, please come, because it's going to be good. I'm feeling something right now that I just don't feel every day, but I feel it today. And I can't wait to be with all you guys.
Dave. So, George, here's the scoop. If you're on the fence, you're about to get knocked off. You're going to have to pick a side. You can't ride the fence, folks. Can't ride the fence anymore. And so we're looking for fence riders. And I like what Ray said. Where'd he go? Ray said I was a first stepper, and I never thought about that. But see, I'm not a first stepper. I'm a second stepper or a third stepper because I watched somebody else. Flip Bennon stepped, and Mark Harrington stepped, and it showed me. And then Flip stepped, and it showed me. And then Rusty stepped, and it showed me. And so isn't that what Paul said? Didn't Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? And what I want to do, George, I don't want people following me. I want them following Christ, but they have to follow you to get there. That's what Paul said. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so I'm only one place. I want George to build an army. I want Victor to build an army. I want Serge to build an army. I want Rob Pugh to build an army. I want people following. I want Dale to build an army. Follow Dale as he follows Christ. Follow George as he follows Christ. Follow Victor as he follows Christ. Follow Lowell as he follows Christ. Follow Gary as he follows Christ. Follow Jeff as he follows Christ. You understand how this is supposed to work? This is how it is supposed to work, because the truth of it is there are many men out there who don't know what to do and need somebody to show them how. And so when I talk about building a downline, that's what I'm talking about. Now, look, I want to show you something here. If you want to come in here, you can come in, but you got to do me a favor. I'm going to mute myself, and then when I point, that means you can start speaking. My microphone's off, okay? So we're not getting any feedback. Before we do that, Dale says 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world are 2 feet. I love Dale. You're going to meet Dale. You guys are going to be there, and you're going to watch Dale on a borrowed guitar do street ministry, singing the song. We're going to be standing out in front of that abortion clinic, and Dale Sosh is going to be leading us in praise and worship. Fellas, I'm telling you, Yangham, you ain't going to believe what we're going to do. Let me come back here. Jared, you threw it up there for me, I think, didn't you? Is it in Ecclesiastes? Jared, I got to find you. Yeah, there it is. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Who was the son of David? Well, that was Solomon, wasn't it? Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now stop a minute. If we ever go to Webster's 1828 dictionary and we looked up vanity, which we've done before, what is vanity? Well, look at Jared, Johnny on the spot. What is it? Vanity, emptiness, want of substance to satisfy desires. Amazing, isn't it? I turned Victor on the Webster's 1828 dictionary. We were talking about that. Uncertainty, vanity of vanity, said the preacher, fruitless desire or endeavor, trifling labor that produces no good, emptiness, untruth, empty pleasure, vain pursuit, idle show, unsubstantial employment. Wow! Arrogance, ostentation, inflation of mind upon slight grounds, empty pride. Oh my goodness. Fools cannot be cured of their vanity. Vanity is the food of fools. No man sympathizes with the sorrows of vanity. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Keep that in mind. Emptiness, vain pursuit, nothing. All is empty. Vanity, vanity, said the preacher. Vanity, vanity, everything is empty. Vain pursuit, meaningless. What profit hath a man of all his labors which he taketh under the sun? One generation. Can you read this, Victor?
Yes, sir.
You do it, man.
One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever.
Ain't nothing, man. Just one after another after another. Keep going, Victor.
The sun also arises, and the sun goeth down, and passeth to his place where he arose.
So the sun goes, the sun knows where he goes when he's at night. He don't even argue. He comes up and he goes down. He hurries to his place where he came from.
The wind goeth toward the south, and he turneth about unto the north. It is whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his church.
See, it looks like stupid wind to us, but no, it's not. Wind knows what it's doing. Victor, you're doing great.
All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, hither they return again.
We had the most unbelievable thunderstorm last night, and as we were coming home, the creeks, the ditches were totally full of water, overflowing. I mean, it came down like in a half hour, it just drenched everything. You know what I thought? I asked to myself two questions. Where'd that water come from? And where's it gone? Where is it going? Well, what's Ecclesiastes say? All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. How can a sea not be full when all that water just ran into it? And to the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. It's amazing, isn't it? Keep going, Victor. You're doing great.
All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be.
There is nothing new under the sun. Somewhere it's coming up. I'll keep going.
And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Huh?
Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new?
Hey, have you guys seen this? You see that tree? Victor was sitting on my back porch looking out and sees trees all the time, right? But you have the magnificence of it, right? I've cut those trees down. Another one will grow up there, right? There's nothing new under the sun. Keep going, Victor.
It hath been already old time, which was before. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king
was.
Over,
was.
I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. His sore travail hath God given to the Son of Man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity manifestation of the
Spirit. Isn't that something? All of it. See, all the work could ever be done, and it's nothing but vanity, emptiness, vain pursuit. It's all vanity and vexation of the Spirit. And look at this right here, brother. This next one.
That which is crooked and not be made.
A queer man can't. I'm just sorry, man. You weren't born that way, man. If you're crooked, we can't. Go ahead. You can't make homosexuality straight, baby. Isn't it amazing that they call that being straight? Oh, I'm straight. I guess the opposite of being straight, David, is what? Being crooked? Would that be fair to say? Huh?
And that which is waiting cannot be numbered.
Wow.
I commune with mine own heart.
Stop a minute. Some of you need to be doing some of that. Some of you need to be communing with your own heart.
What she means is also good, because it's like reins on a horse. You pull on the rein, you get the horse's attention. And shaming gets our.
Victor, the right ring watch went after me because I said I was going to go shame it. I don't know if you guys saw that. You probably don't follow it. Google it. Kyle Manta? Is that your name? Mantella? Yeah, he takes up stuff and he tells little lies about it. And he said, Coach, whatever's going to bring people to God by going and shaming him, I think was what the headline was. Well, there is truth to that. There is truth to it. Victor's right. See, shame's not a bad thing. Shame's a good thing. Whatever happened to shame?
And no compromise.
No compromise. So keep going here. I don't know. I can't cut this off. This is all so good. Keep going.
I am.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Right wing watch. Shame is a good thing. Dave Dobmeier and crew will be protesting a mosque, an abortion clinic, and a pride parade this weekend. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle, for the advertisement, brother. We are. And shame is a good thing. Oh, they're our greatest promoters. Go ahead. So I commune with my own heart. 16.
Yes. Saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge.
And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I trained my heart so I would recognize what was wise, but who's mad, and what's folly. And I see it today, and I say it today, and Right Wing Watch makes fun of us. But Solomon said that's what you have to do. You have to commune with your own heart. You have to seek wisdom. You have to love wisdom. And when you give your heart to know wisdom, then what? Then you're going to know madness and folly. Isn't that unbelievable? Huh?
Beautiful.
And I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. Hey, Jared, what's vexation? What's Webster say about vexation? You see, we just read, don't we, folks? We just read and we don't think. Vexation.
Oh.
Go to vexatious. That would be good. Vexatious would be good, Jared. Vexatious, right underneath it. Irritating, disturbing, or agitating to the mind, causing disquiet, afflictiveness, as a vexatious controversy, distressing, harassing, full of trouble and disquiet, teasing, slightly troublesome, provoking, vexation of spirit, distressing the spirit. Man, oh man, I perceived that it was all vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom. Oh my God, hang on a minute. For in much wisdom is much grief. Wow. And he that increaseth knowledge increases sorrow. Wow. Come on in, brother.
Hey, coach.
Somebody was ahead. Was that you?
No, Dale, it's Brother Jeff. I preached at the Democratic Party office yesterday while I was coming before the airport. What that word you just described, vexatious, man. What reaction that I got. But they got to hear the gospel. And the truth.
And it causes vexation of their spirit, and it causes vexation of our spirit when we see what, notice what it connects it to. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, to know madness and folly, and I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. When he saw the foolishness and the folly, it caused vexation of his spirit. Go ahead, George.
You know, coach, I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking the other side must really be vexed, because to my knowledge, I've never been at this deal in Columbus, but there's going to be about 500,000 people supporting the event, 12,000-13,000 actually homosexuals in the event, and we're maybe 100, and they're concerned about us 100. That ought to tell them something right there, that the God we serve, we don't have to have 500,000 people. You know what? We serve a mighty God, and they know it deep inside, but because they're their own God, they won't submit to the living God.
Amen, George. Amen.
With that, I mean, you can only hear, the reason they fear it is all it takes is one tiny little nugget of God's reality to show the man behind the curtain, right? All it takes is all you got to do is move the curtain a little bit and take a peek, and then you know it's a lie. It's that easy. That's what they have to lie so much to keep God's reality from coming forth. Just the knowledge of like basic common sense. They have to lie so much. You know, they have to tell men they're women so much. For decades, hundreds of years, we have to be lied to for them to win. And it only takes a peek behind the curtain to reverse all of it. That's what they're scared of.
And Jared, because we have wisdom, we recognize folly. Do you see that? Do you understand that connection? We've desired wisdom, and we made the determination that homosexual men parading up and down our streets is folly. We've made that determination through wisdom. You with me, Ray? Through wisdom, we've made that. And see, the other side, they can't make that connection because why? They don't have any wisdom. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. They're trying to feed and gratify and satisfy the flesh. And those of us who've made wisdom our partner, who are seeking after wisdom, understand the vanity of the flesh. And understand the vanity of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We understand all that, see? And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to take wisdom. Wisdom's crying out. We're trying to take wisdom to the streets. We're not trying to convince those marching in the parade as much as we're trying to convince those who are standing alongside, giving it hearty approval as they go by. It's vexation of spirit. That's what's going on. Hey, boy, this is deep, isn't it? This deep. Somebody come on in. I'm going to point at you. That means I'm muting myself. Somebody can jump in here.
Hey, Coach.
I just threw up a little piece about Leo Frank on Facebook. Let me just go through it real quick.
Reminder that the ADL, are you listening, Kyle? The ADL was created to cover up the murder of Mary Fagan by Leo Frank. Leo Frank was a bisexual pedophile and a drug addict who managed a pencil factory in Atlanta around 1913. One day, he drugged a 13-year-old employee named Mary Fagan and then brutally raped and murdered her. Then he used a handyman to drag the body to the basement where they're going to burn it in the furnace the next day. But a night watchman finds the body and calls the police. Frank is arrested. He's found guilty and sentenced to hang. The governor commutes the sentence, but Marietta's finest families broke into the jail and lynched him. And I'll leave the rest when you go look on Facebook.
Hey, Vince, I want to see that. It's on your Facebook page?
Yes, it is. I'm not even posting after that. It's going to be right at the top. Just think about that, people. Now think about that. The reason I posted is because I told you that I was called a self-hating black man last Friday. And the reason is because I was supporting Donald John Trump, who's doing so much to make America great again. So I understand why I shouldn't support him. He's done something incredible that no one else has been able to do. He ended the Korean War. Now tell me that he had it on his watch. Yeah.
So Vince, let me clarify something. You're a self-hating black Nephilim, right? I mean,
apparently.
You ain't some little guy like me. Okay, I'm gonna mute it. I'm gonna mute it. Next guy in. Come on.
Hey, Coach. I just thought about this. David Arthur said something Sunday morning at a church he spoke at. He said, "I don't want to be your friend. I want to be your brother." And I was thinking about when he was talking about us getting together and meeting different guys. you remember in Wisconsin, Ray LeBlanc and I were sitting there having breakfast at the bar in that fancy hotel, had our Bibles laying there on the bar, and you walked in and you said, "Boy, I bet you two have bellied up to a few bars before." And we laughed, but that morning started a relationship between my brother, Ray. And I just want to say it'll be fun just getting with Ray again and serving our Lord and Savior out in the streets at the gay parade and abortion clinic, and just hanging with Ray for a couple of days will be fun again.
Well,
say it again.
All the rest of us do as well, Jeff. It's going to be a great time to meet everybody that's on here. It's like 7,500 people coming. It's going to be a great opportunity to build strong fellowship, get together.
And you know, I've known Victor for about 2 hours, and I haven't asked him his theology, what he thinks about the rapture, where he goes to church, what denomination he's at. None of that stuff even, I never even thought I'd ought to ask him that. Never even came up. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? Somebody else, come on in here. We got, what, we got 14.
This, what you're doing right now is what they don't want to happen. Because, like when you go to the Occupy event or you go to this event, you just agree with everybody. It's called a community. These are the people you could have a block party with. You know, all these people. It's you just get together and it just works. You don't have to talk. You could just jump right in. Like what we did. Sit down in the lobby, start reading some King James Bible, you know, and then four or five people come up and boom, you got a Bible study. Bam, just like that. And then you say, "Hey, let's go do this." And it's the community of God's people. That's what's been taken from us in modern day Christianity. We've all been stuck into our own little silo, you know, into our own little silo. Don't talk about religion and politics at church. Don't talk about religion and politics anywhere. But it's like, no, it's the whole life. Do it together, you know, community. It's awesome. Anyway,
hey,
you guys are missing out.
Second Timothy 2:20. Pull that up, Jared. Come on in. I'm waiting for somebody to come in.
Well, Coach, I'll just say that was well. Said Jared, you hitting back to first century Christianity.
Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So evidently some aren't his. Boy, that's a revelation there, isn't it, boys? Huh? See, you guys think I'm nuts. I'm just reading the word. And I did this as a young. I had a guy email the other day, said, "Hey, Coach, I just ran into so-and-so." I'll tell you, it doesn't matter. My eighth grade history teacher, okay? This guy ran into my eighth grade history teacher. Right? And the eighth grade history teacher remembered that I got the outstanding award for history in the eighth grade. He presented me the award. How long ago is that, right? And this guy remembered that, meaning what? Somewhere deep inside of me was this desire to know more. I didn't just want to read. I wanted to know more.
Data.
More data. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate ourselves to the calls that remains before us, that those living and dead who struggled here have consecrated this world far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will know what we did here, but they'll never forget what we say here, but the Lord can never forget what we did here. That's eighth grade. I learned the Gettysburg Address in the eighth grade, right? I'm tying this together. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And so I was marked back then, as were you. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also there's some wood, and there's some mud, And there's some honor, and there's some stuff that's not so nice. And if a man, therefore, will purge himself of these, what? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now, bad work. Flee also youthful lusts, to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now look at this. Talking about, I haven't asked him anything about his theology, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Why would I care what he thinks about the rapture? Why would I argue with him? What does it matter? That's a foolish and unlearned question. Why would I argue with Ray about how he baptizes? That doesn't, are you kidding me? It's, avoid those kind of things. Why? Because they do gender strifes. And aren't we good at gendering strifes? Isn't that, huh? Isn't that our number one job? Doors open, somebody come in. Nobody's coming. It's your turn, Victor.
The minutiae. Don't get caught in the minutiae.
Right, just quibbling. That's all it is.
Amen.
Because everybody, we divide. Divide and conquer is the strategy. Okay, we got 8 minutes left. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to try to do the show live from the campground. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it over this brand new phone that Jared told me I needed to get. And then Jared, we have to talk about this, because one of the things that we want to try to unveil is we are going to try to do Google Hangouts from every one of our outreaches. When we go to the mosque, we want to be able to do a Google Hangout where I can say, hey, Ray, what do you got going on down there where you are? And just like this, we can click in Ray. Ray, say, oh, I'm standing down here. I'm buying me some burkas and whatever. He can talk. Hey, George, what are you doing over there? Hey, coach, I'm over here and I'm making some bacon and whatever. George can tell. And so we can, so you guys can sit out there and have a feel for what's going on. Then we want to I'm not going to say too much because we are being watched. Okay. Oh, but sure. Everywhere we go, we're going to be live broadcasting it. So you guys can follow.
Coach, we have to remember Tommy Robinson. He's been He's been moved to a
Islamic jail. Islamic jail.
And right? Now it's a de facto death sentence.
Well, we don't believe that, though, do we? No. We believe the greater seed is Lord, in Tommy. That's right. The Lord can deliver him. But why? Because, see, this Islam beast is a beast. It's a beast. It's an anti-Christ beast. People say, why are you going to go to the mosque? Because it's an anti-Christ beast.
That's what it is. Destroy it. That's right.
And somebody needs to go confront it. And so we're going to go confront it. You say, well, coach, why are you going to the abortion clinic? Well, because they're sacrificing, human sacrifices are taking place to the God of Moloch or the God of self. And we're going to go say there's no God but Jesus. There's only one God, and Jesus is his name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We're not going to go do friendship evangelism. Not what we're going to go do.
Praise the Lord.
We're not. We're going to go lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and that every knee shall bow. And then we're going to go to that homo sex parade. We're going to go to that homo sex parade. I don't know if I should say this, so I'm going to say it very, I'm not going to say it too much in detail. David Arthur has purchased a booth inside the festival. Inside the festival. I belong Amen Ministries. David wants to go in there and affirm David, maybe you can. Anyway, they rejected him yesterday. He cannot go into the parade. And David, without showing too much of what's going on, what was the reason, David, they told you that you couldn't come into where all of these homosexuals were? Having been one, what was it they told you, David?
Coach, they claim that I'm not open and affirming according to their standards, but on their website, open and affirming isn't defined on their website either. And so I am open and affirming. I'm just as open and affirming as any other ministry or church that's going to be present that they've allowed in.
But they've rejected you.
They rejected me.
David was going to be in there, open and affirming of the homosexuals, telling them Christ is their savior. What's wrong with that, Victor? That's pretty good, right? They'll have the Methodist Church, King Avenue United Methodist Church is going to be in there telling everybody how much Jesus loves them. Well, David wants to go in there and tell them how much Jesus loves them and that he can help them be born again. If they were born that way, he wants to affirm that they were born that way and that they can be born again. Isn't that what you want to do, David? You want to go in there and love and affirm them and say accepting and
that's exactly what I wanted to do, Coach. That's what I want to do. I want to go in there. See, I'm not going to force anybody to speak. I'm not going to hold anybody down and beat them in the head with a Bible. I'm going to express the fact that I love God and I honor them. I'm going to give them what I received. And for those who are looking to speak to me, those who are seeking freedom should have that. Should have that opportunity presented to them. They shouldn't just be, I mean, really what they're doing is they're keeping their own people, you know, they're being into their own people because they're not allowing their own group the opportunities that are there for them. They're just keeping their opportunities limited.
So in other words, David, they won't bake a cake for you. Is that what you're telling me?
No, they won't bake a cake for me, but they want to force my hand and break my arm so I make one for them.
Folks, do you understand the wickedness? Do you understand the wickedness that's involved? And people say, Coach, why are you going down there and sticking your nose in there? Because I'm trying to save your nose. And I'm trying to save your children's nose. And I'm going because my Savior said, go. Amen. Hey, Coach, do me a favor. He said to me, go. You remember we read Isaiah the other day? Do you remember we said Isaiah? What did Isaiah say? Who can I send? Lord said, who's got anybody over here? Go. Can I send by? I can send. What Isaiah said, yeah, heck, I'll go. Send me. Yeah. So we're just answering that call. We're just answering the call to go and do and serve. Come on in here.
Dave, this is Chad. I just wanted to say, look, we're going to need some help while we're here. We're boots on the ground. So remember, people that, if you're not able to attend, we need you to really, I mean, I'm talking some serious spiritual covering for us, to be praying for us that, you know, of course, that we're not, that we're successful in what we're doing, okay, that we're covered, because we're going to come under enormous amount of attack before, during, and after. So I just ask that everyone that's out there, roll up your sleeves and really get some, we need some sincere prayer, not just, we'll pray for you, brother. We need some, I mean, hit these, the dark side of the face type prayer. Amen.
And let me say this publicly. I ain't afraid of them. I ain't afraid of them. 1,000 will fall on my left hand and 10,000 on my right hand. But it shall not come, it ain't coming near me. Not one hair on my head is going to be damaged. Why? Because that's the promise of the Lord. He's sending us. He said, go, and we're gone. He said, I'm going to be with you always, even until the end of the earth. But he also warned us to pray without ceasing. Did he not? Did he not? So those of you who are sitting home, we covet your prayers. And if you are out there right now, I got my phone went off right after Ray came in at 2:15 last night. At 2:20, 2:30 maybe it was, my phone dinged. Had my phone by my bed. I don't usually do that. But put my phone by my bed last night because I thought maybe Ray would get lost and he would have to call, which, by the way, he did, and woke me up. Well, I get him in bed, and my phone dings at 2:30. And it was some guy. You know what he said? Can I still come? Can I still come? Is that something?
Hurry.
So they're still coming. And you can come. You can come. Yeah. They said, well, I went on a website. This happened. Hey, Jared. Said, I'm going on a website, and I can't navigate my way through there. Hey, listen, if you want to come, email me, say, Coach, I want to come. You're registered. I'm coming. We're coming. We got room for a few more. But it ain't the Sheraton. It ain't the Ritz, all right? It might be sleeping on a sleeping bag on a couch. It might be sleeping on a sleeping bag out under the stars. You get here, and we're going to take care of it. It's going to be a miraculous weekend because the name of Jesus is going to be lifted high everywhere we go. And the scriptures say that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And go ahead.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said this, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. We'll go lift him up. We'll see you in the morning. It's going to be an exciting show. We'll see you in the morning. God bless you.